Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Sissies, we are in a state.
Is there a new flavor of Oreos?
No.
Oh, they finally started a gay men who can knit subreddit?
No! And if they did that subreddit, I would report it for being sad.
Well, what is it then? Some new Keira Knightley movie?
Close. Sissies, we are excited for Vanderpump Villa, a new reality show starring Lisa Vanderpump.
Now on Hulu. Oh yeah, it looks delish, and the guys are really hot.
It's not only about the hot men, Maddie. This is a high-class show, and Lisa Vanderpump is taking us across the pond. Sissies, in this gorgeous new show, you can join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside.
With really hot French guys?
No. Well, maybe. Stop distracting me. Sissies, meet the elite staff as they work, live, and play together 24/7 while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. But don't get it twisted. The staff will need to meet Lisa's high standards as they try to provide once-in-a-lifetime experiences for their guests.
True. And Lisa has a staff. Mixologists, chefs, housekeepers, event coordinators, and a chateau manager.
Who's really, really hot.
I knew you'd get there. But sissies, not everybody has what it takes.
Oh no, it gets messy. So get prepared, sissies, because Vanderpump Villa has first-class luxury and world-class drama.
Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu.
Hello, this is Captain Poodle speaking. Are you ready to find love?
Yes, ahoy, matey.
Love.
Do-do-do-do.
Exciting and new.
Woo!
Go online. They're catfishing you.
Shocker.
Fiance.
Soon you'll be flying to parts unknown.
90-day fiance.
Marrying someone you've only met on your phone.
Be they French or Chinese, a brand new K-1 visa's the key.
Ooh, the key to what, Poodle?
To love. It's 90-day gate, let's love.
Yay, we did it. Y'all, this is 90-day gays. And I'm here, this is an extra special surprise guest. I am here, not with Maddie, that I'm already in a better mood, but with Chris Farah, y'all. Chris Farah, she already has her own YouTube channel with 90 Days. Y'all say hello to, I'll just say hello to Chris Farah, so people in their cars are saying, hello, Chris Farah. Chris Farah, introduce yourself. Who the fuck are you?
Hi guys, how are you? Why is my voice so high? That's not how it is. And don't worry at all. Like, what if you didn't know me and you thought that that's what you were going to be hearing for the next hour? Like, hi guys.
I'd hate you.
You just click off. Hi, I'm Chris Farah. I am so excited to be here. It just randomly in our lives is that I've been friends with both Jake and Maddie for a very long time, and it's also randomly in our lives. I love this goddamn show, and I talk about it all the time.
she does a YouTube recap for every episode, so y'all, you can search. What's your YouTube channel? Just your name?
My name, Chris Farah. Farah like Farah Fawcett, starts with an F. There's only one R. So Chris Farah, honey, on YouTube. It's like I love pop culture, television. Obviously, I recap shows. 90 Day Fiance is my bread and butter, and there's so many, you know, offshoots, honey. But I've done Love After Lockup, and I've done the Bravo shows, and you know, I've even like dipped my toe in Celebrity Big Brother. So in Big Brother, so
there is many different offshoots of 90 Days as there are nationalities of Angelina's children.
Mm-hmm. They're diverse, honey.
Very diverse.
Just like, just like Real Housewives, honey. All the cities, like 90 Day was like, oh, we're coming for it. You know, like you can't keep track of our stars.
it's and we kind of think that I love The Other Way. The Other Way is like my show because it feels super real. And even though it's not, I know it's totally scripted. Happily Ever After, this is the first season we've watched. And Maddie and I both. And Maddie, this has been like a slog. This has been, there are all these terrible people. The only bright light in it, well, really not because she's kind of Eeyore, but she should be, is Kalani. And you kind of root for Kalani.
Nobody loves me.
But you've been watching this probably from the beginning.
Love this show. You know, I liked Happily Ever After a lot, and I didn't mind the season. I'm going to be honest, like, not to like take a little devil's advocate, but going
we love to disagree here on this channel.
Going into the last two seasons that are on TV concurrently, which is The Other Way and Happily Ever After, I thought I was going to love The Other Way. Like, you know, like no way. Like there was no way that I was not going to be obsessed with it. Like first gay couples are in love. They're so sweet. They're like very lovely, like Brittany and Yasin, you know, like I love, why would I not be obsessed with that? But you know, truthfully is that it just got boring while Happily Ever After gave me my shot of Angela. And I need a shot of Angela.
Yeah.
Every day. At least once a week.
I think I would not like her in real life. But I enjoy watching her hijinks. You know, she has two spinoffs that are supposed to happen. They announced like a couple of days ago that there may be one with just her and or one with her and Skyla and the fertility issues. And ain't no Angela going to have a baby. We all know Angela cannot tote a baby.
I've talked about that one ghost egg that held on in her uterus. I couldn't even believe it when they had that scene. I was like, where is that? That's not an egg, honey. It's a polyp. That's not an egg. I mean, I couldn't believe it when it was happening. Also, like, and we can get into this, but it was really crazy to watch this tell-all special part two and them talking about how she wants a kid and how Skyla has to be able, the one that's going to give it to her because it's for her bloodline. And Skyla's like, no. And the whole time, Jakey Poo, I am like, we're not going to talk about Scotty, are we? We're not going to even bring her name up. Like the whole time, they're like, if only we could find an egg in my bloodline and someone to carry and tote it. And Skyla's like, it's not me. And I feel like Skyla the whole time would be like, well, it would have been nice if it could have been Scotty, your other kid, but I don't know. She's just so messed up and you don't want her blood in your kids, you know, like.
Yeah, she's pretty fucked up. We don't talk about Scotty. They probably can't even contractually mention her.
Yeah,
because of PR for the show.
People go crazy. I think thought that Angela wouldn't even be on the show after all that came out because of course Scotty was on the show.
I don't think that that TLC Matt Sharp's ethics are as strong as ours. but I think cha-ching matters a lot more than your own ethics. But you know, all you have to do, Larissa, all you have to do is be in contract violation. Jeffrey from last season can beat his wife to death but like at least three or four. He's DV emperor. That's not a problem. Paul can like burn down a barn. No one has a problem with that or a house
or a relationship. Oh, I know.
Or can terrorize Karini. Obviously it's not a problem with bad people. It's a problem with bad press.
They didn't even want to address Paul and Karini. They didn't even want to, like, Sean Robinson didn't even want to address, like, Paul and Karini not being there. Like,
yeah. And, like, you do kind of forget. But, like, the weirdest thing is they're such good tell-all bait, or he is, that, like, she's, like, sucking his dick the whole time, prompting him for information about Karini and that baby. And when they're not there, like, Paul and Karini can't join us today. I'm like, okay. We did say we did know each other and, we've known each other for like probably like 15 years. And it's crazy. For 45 years. I knew Chris from working at UCB and Upright Citizen Brigade. And then, I was lucky enough to be able to play piano for Chris in her one-woman show about a highfalutin prostitute named Fancy Jean Baker.
Yes. I'm going to bring her back, by the way. I'm going to do something with her. I was going to do something with her pre-COVID. We were, you know.
Yeah, we were. We're talking about it. And then she was the one of the few people who's ever been on stage with both me and Maddie at the event called Cabaret.
Yeah.
Because we usually don't let anybody else on stage with us.
Allie and Lindsay. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I mean, early on. Yeah.
Early on.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
But Chris Farah, we would maybe let a drag queen on the stage with us, but Chris Farah is a little less than a gay man, a little more than a drag queen.
That's the sweetest thing I ever heard. I want to cry.
You can put that in a pull quote.
yeah. I'm just surrounded by laurels on my website. As I want, like, I wanted like a film festival.
Three and a half stars. We always talk about Star Search, and for some reason, mm-hmm. penis sizes, mm-hmm. and him going 3.25 stars.
I'd take 3.25 stars.
Me too. I just like it the quarters. That's a really specific measurement. So let's jump into this. Let's just mm-hmm. jump into the show. So you said you liked this season of Happily Ever After more. Oh, I should, you know what? Let's mention why you're doing this. Chris is gratefully filling in for Maddie Marr today because Maddie's dealing with more stuff with his dad's, basically his dad's health. And I don't want to get too much into it, but basically Maddie said, there's no way I can do this today. And I was like, let's spring into action. This is a good time for Chris Farah. And here she is in a bathrobe, no less.
I love Maddie so much. I have waited to be on the show. It is like, I wish, of course, that Maddie was here and we could all talk about this dumbass thing together. My heart and my prayers are with him. My God. I love me some Maddie. So thank you for having me on the show. And I'm missing him right now.
Vive la différence. I don't even know what that means.
It's something. This is what I think about when I think about that. It's a French term for like men are from Mars, women are from
Venus. Yeah, it is. You know what?
Women are different. Is that what it is?
That's something you say when you don't know. When I wanted to say something disparaging about Maddie, and I decided not to. actually been with all this drama with his dad. I shouldn't call it drama, but it's dad's illness. We've been so good to each other, which is rare. We normally just pick at each other constantly. So let's just jump into this. Part two, we begin with America's favorite fairy tale, Kalani and Asuelu.
But it started off that way. Could you imagine you go to your homeland, Jake? Let's just say you're not from America. You go to your homeland, honey. You're in a gorgeous resort. There's an activities director there. You're a virgin, okay? You have never touched Thena D because she was raised that way. She's a virgin. She's there. There's a guy. He has a very square jawline. She's somewhat into that. Near-set eyes. That turns her on. That's fine. She's like, this guy's my culture. He's obsessed with her. They have like a lust bubble, as you will, and we can talk about that lust bubble and other things. Then they like can't get their hands off each other. They get married so they can like, or they bone, they get knocked up. They're like, we have to get married or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then she brings them over, and that this is her life now. It did start as a fairy tale, but of course it like disintegrates into, I mean, hell on earth, honey. This is hell. I feel so bad for her.
I do too. And I think she's got a remarkable amount of perspective. And that's what I love about her. Both her and her sister, I want them to
her
do
name
a fucking... I agree, and I had a problem with it.
Colony, Poodle, Canini, Katiti, no. Yeah.
The Colony used to be a theater where I grew up. We'd say, you want to go to the Colony and see Terminator 2?
Oh, the Colony in Burbank, honey, does quality work.
That's true. Well, I think that theater's done.
Oh, okay. We'll whisper about it right here. No one will know.
Bad management.
Oh, I won't tell. Oh, hashtag LATHTR.
Anyway, this was just the movie theater, the Colony Theaters, where I saw Honey, I Shrunk the Kids there.
Monumental. Did you hear about Rick Moranis, by the way? Not to get off subject, but you did hear that Rick Moranis was sucker punched on the Upper East Side in New York out of nowhere this week.
He was punched in the face, and it was very upsetting. And I could only think of, this is the worst thing I thought of, is right. that someone really didn't like that they made a sequel called Honey, I Blew Up the Kid. Yeah. That's the... And that's a terrible thing to say, and I feel remorse for that.
Well, I won't.
Don't. So you nailed it. That she thought this kind of fairy tale thing, this, you know, maybe slow on the uptake guy, it must be charming. It must be charming being there in Samoa. And then she takes him back and like, oh no, this is just how it is.
Yeah,
oh no.
He's not just young and dumb. He's just dumb.
It's like in what's that movie? Now I'm like, this is what Maddie and I always do. What's that movie where blah 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 happens? You know, the Matthew McConaughey has the stoner. What's
Cafe.
That movie?
No, Dazed and Confused.
Dazed and Confused. When you say, "Oh, he's real hot," and then you take him home, and you're like, "No, he's just an idiot."
Yeah.
Like it's just the only thing she's guilty of is extremely bad judgment in men. And she's tried her best. So
she just
anyway.
Didn't know, honey. She was a virgin. She was just so horny, you know. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if that's true, but that's how I was, and I'm just putting it on her, honey. You know, like they just she just wanted a way out, I think. And she's so pretty. I really loved like everything. Kalani gave me a lot during this tell all. Obviously, popcorn, which I really appreciated. Cheeky. She just went to overwhelm Brettenbacher. She popped some honey, some like what it was. She like put it into a container and just chomped it. Watch the drama unfold, honey, as if it wasn't happening to her in that moment.
But and the moment she chose when Moneybags was apologizing. And I'm going to tell you, when Moneybags apologizes, she apologizes. It's like she's delivering like some type of monologue in a Civil War movie. She's like, she's like, Kalani, I am so sorry for all of my family and what I have done to you and the kids. And I mean, I only want you to have the best in life. And if by chance you have an extra $100. You can drop it in the mail.
Yeah.
Or DHL. We have FedEx.
Cash App.
Cash
She's
App.
Like, my Venmo.
WhatsApp. Give me money. As I just scream when I'm around the house these days. By the way, I don't know if you ever saw, I talk about it all the time because it makes me laugh till I cry. Someone had a meme with her at that goat farm. And she was petting the goat. And it said, she feeling for that goat's wallet.
No, I missed that. That's so funny.
Anyway, Moneybags, Kalani brought out the popcorn and ate it while Moneybags delivered a soliloquy that was supposed to be unbelievable. Anyway.
And Tammy just ruins it. Like, you know, I mean, Tammy is just like, no, I don't care what happens to you, your kids could die. I mean, I'll run over your kids if necessary. Like, the whole point is give my family money. Like, that's the bottom line.
I don't know if Tammy's for real. I don't know if someone, if someone is that much of a fucking twisty mustache villain. I mean, it could be that she's... That's true. He's diabolical, though. He enjoys fucking with people. I think
what
Tammy,
if Colton and Tammy got together? They deserve each other.
They do. They do. Ugh. But Colton, she would just yell at him.
Yeah, but Colton's used to giving moms money.
That's true. Anyway, so Tammy's jumping on her like nobody's business, y'all, saying, you know, they just need to get divorced. Because we need that money. We need that sweet, sweet coin. Yeah. Fuck
that
their
part-time froyo taste tester money.
That's right. He works part-time at a health food store.
Well, honey, he also now is doing the dance lessons.
Sorry, you're right.
But he also has to pay for the massive amounts of volleyball. They don't just let him play volleyball for free, although he wished they would.
Oh, you know, what are we, what, let's, we've weighed in. What do you think his problem is? We've talked about it. I said there's definitely a language issue, but there's also some type of sensory processing thing. Like, yes, he can't process his emotions because in maybe Samoa, men aren't really expected to process their emotions somehow. But I think there's something even more at work. Because I know some Samoan people and they're not like him.
Yeah, he seems to be devoid of like a certain amount of like, I guess, confidence and self-identity, you know? And I think that like, if that was to be like generically traditional in those comments, it'd be like, he doesn't seem to be like, it seems to be he's not a, like a, he can't be like a man of himself, like his own like desires, yeah, and wants. He can't stand like in his own decisions. He can't just be like, it's always very telling when you have family members willing to go on a show and like, tear apart the decisions, life decisions of someone in their family, because it means they don't respect them. Like Tammy and right. his mom don't respect Asuelu's. And so in order for that to be true, which it is, we could see the behavior patterns and that it's, and that's thusly it's true. It means that he like for his whole life has been not to be trusted in decision-making, yeah, basic decision-making. So I think that I think we're dealing with someone who's on the spectrum. Yes. Someone who's a little slow, I guess, is maybe like the colloquial term for he's slow. I mean,
yeah, that's probably the most catch-all word for
simple.
It.
He's a simpleton, but, right? A little.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. And when you're raised by, I think that you just used a term that people would use to diagnose mental illness in the 19th century. He's quite the simpleton.
I used a bunch of, like he's not a man. I used a bunch of, but I mean, you know. I did.
I believe they called it loons. He's a loon.
He needs some lithium and a good spoon. I don't know.
Yeah, I did say when she brought out the popcorn, I laughed like an actual lunatic. Like someone they put in an asylum who goes, woo! Just like Daffy Duck.
That's you were, yeah, laughed. It made you giddy.
Oh, it was so good. And so anyway, y'all, all you need to know basically is this whole situation, Kalani, God, you're right. The names are too close.
No, the mom really messed us up for that one.
Yeah. And her name is Lisa.
She's like, I got to have some like exotic names for these ones. And then yeah, she was just like, I really like those K names. She's like Kris Jenner.
Yes. Ugh.
Oh.
But with a little more self-examination.
Yeah, and better hair.
She does have better hair.
Lisa has the best hair. They all have great hair. I mean, Colony, they all have great hair.
So anyway, but Sean Robinson asked her, she's like, what do you think of these moments after you're seeing them? How are you now? And there's a long pause where I felt myself age. And Kalani says, it's basically the same as it was now. Nothing has changed. And the sadness that I've been feeling for, 9 months dropped out of my chest. And I yelled at this guttural, because I want the best for her. I really do. I like her. I don't think she ever knew what she would sign up for in this reality TV kind of thing. But boy, he's a fucking albatross. She could do so much.
I truly know it's the hard part for me with that storyline again was the sister conversation where Kalani and Kalani are in Kalani and Kalani were like, whatever the non-main one, okay, it's Kalani.
It's Kalani.
Kalani. Kalani's the main one and the other one's Kalani.
Kalani.
So Kalani turns to Kalani and is like, if this was me, if I was in your situation, you would want me to leave this person so hard. And I felt that. I was just like, yeah, like if any of like my best friends were in that situation, like this is what I said last night, honey. I mean, did you watch the Paris Hilton documentary on YouTube?
No, I haven't watched it yet. Is it good?
It is. It's interesting. It's yes, I think it's good. I mean, good is relative or whatever. But I will say that, like, you know, there's parts where she has like a nightmare, a reoccurring nightmare where she's gonna in the middle of the night, people come and take her because she had to go to behavioral schools because she was like an out of her mind, like rich kid, and like her parents.
Yeah.
This is what they did. Okay, so I was like, this is what I would fucking do. Sorry, if this is what I would do if it was like me knowing.
You can swear. It's fine.
So I would absolutely come in the middle of the night and take her, the two kids and everything. I'd be like, I don't care if you're scared about this, this is what's happening. I'm saving you from your own life. I know we're going to leave this topic, and I just want to talk about Tammy's outfit. Tammy this whole time is like about to get beaten by Angela, which thank God Angela's doing the Lord's. Oh. I mean, Angela's doing as much as she can during this tell all to remind us that violence is always possible, because that's what usually happens when Angela's on a like a reunion special. Yes. Anyway.
She does. She and Rebecca almost came to blows. And that was when I realized Rebecca was a tall woman, and I was so shocked because I'd never seen her next to anybody but Zied.
Yeah. And every time that she was next to me, I would just look at their butts. I would look at both of their butts together, just like in those jeans and those leather jackets. I would just be like, butt, you know. Tammy's there. And like, again, she's wearing a Polynesian one shoulder puff dress. And she is just like in a beige couch. Hattie has to be told what's what with Angela. Like, Angela's going to come and she's going to take her down. Don't do that to her, Kalani.
Yeah. Because they're besties, obviously.
Yeah.
I
would be best friends with Angela, but I would have Angela beat up someone for me, because I feel like, yeah, she'd be good at it.
I'm terrified of her. And
I won't make you up.
I will. I have one thing to say about Colini does say you can beat me up too, and she's like, sorry, Tammy says, I'll beat you up too, and Colini's like, you want my address?
Yeah.
The sisters are just bringing it. And then we find out, but to end this segment is the fact he leaves, he's gone, and he's already blocked her phone. Not to be confused with the Silva twins. Lock your number on your phone. Lock your number. This is an actual block, which they said was the song of the summer.
Yeah.
And we still say that was not the song of the summer. Lock Your Number was like number 211 on like samgoody.com.
I think that you're honest. That's a compliment. That's a compliment, what you just said.
Lock Your Number. Anyway.
Yeah, it was the song of the summer right underneath Watermelon Sugar and right in WAP. WAP just barely topped it. Can you imagine? I will say that, like, he blocked her so fast, just like a volleyball about to come over a net, honey, and he just jumped up and blocked it. He loves volleyball. Jake, how does anyone love volleyball that much? He plays like five times a week. Even his own mom, crazy ass money bags, was like, stop. I told him to stop playing the volleyball and stay home. And he still is like, I'm getting off of the Zoom to go play more volleyball. He loves it. Overhand, do you think he serves overhand or underhand? I think he serves underhand.
I think he's an underhander server. I agree.
Yeah.
He bumps it. He bumps.
Yeah, he does bump.
I bet they play very polite volleyball. I bet no one ever spikes it. They just pop the. It's very polite.
He's like, I'm going to get. Are you okay if I get it? Do I not get it?
Anyway, you're right. There's way too much volleyball being played. And they have two very young children. Very young.
Yeah.
And, I don't have a lot to say much more. But you guys, they're in an... She's in, let's be honest, she's in an unwinnable situation. She either needs to leave her, leave her husband... Or struggle through life with those kids. I don't know what to do. Anyway, that's her.
Yeah.
Thank God she has a mom. And her dad seems to be a pretty strong low.
Yeah, although I do wish, just going back, I do wish that the dad had told Asuelu's mom a little more of like what's up or what's not going to be up, because we waited for that. And then he just was kind of like, well, there's a difference in the Samoan culture and American culture. And I told him that. I want to be like, they're basically saying that they should give him them money because you guys already make so much money. You can take care of everyone. Thoughts? Like, I wanted him to look. But
we thought that was going to be like a Godzilla versus Mothra moment.
Yes.
We were sitting there like chewing our nails, and I expected money. I get power of money bags. And he's like, well, I'm going to not let you do that. It's that's my closest thing to Low is Sling Blade.
Good. I think it's good.
Anyway, that's all I've got about those two. You know what? I hope the best for them. Kalani, if you need me to come get you in the night, I will. Chris and I will come down and get you.
Or Paris.
Kalani will come. Or Paris Hilton. Yeah.
Yeah. Kalani will come in.
Shall we talk about Gaslighter in Chief, Colt?
Oh my God. I will say I can be a little balanced. Obviously, he, you know, lost some LBs, and in a very Tom-type way, he shows up and thinks he's, like, suddenly the best thing in the whole world, honey. Like, drops 20 pounds and thinks he's, like, male Giselle. Yes.
He just looks like even more of a rat face to me. Yes. Like, he looks like that sloth, it looks like an animated character somehow. I don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. And that fake Justin Bieber hair is not doing him any favors either.
No, and Debbie shows up looking like a extra from like Pleasantville or like whatever. Like, where did that transformation happen? Like, who are you, Debbie?
I said on part one of the tell-all that her hair looked exactly like something that a female warden of a prison would have.
Yes.
It was like fire engine red. It hurt your eyes. And as Larissa said, red like devil.
Devil-y.
Yeah.
Talking about drinking, if we had a drinking game where we took a shot every time Jess called Colty a liar. Liar boy, I'm a liar. How wasted. /incapacitated/ not alive would we be at the end of this tell-all?
I'd be at Cedars right now.
honey. I'd be at Walter Reed.
You a liar, boy. Yeah. Set me on fire, boy. Cedar boy.
It was liar boy.
The interesting thing here, and we've talked about this before, but do you think Jess? It was a little bit like Thy Dost Protest Too Much. Do you think she ever loved him, or she just kind of wanted to be on the show for a green card and everything else, and she just enjoys now what she's playing up? Because how could you love Colty? Let's be honest.
You can't see him in the bathing suit when she saw him in the bathing suit, and like
that should have been it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, she is a liar as well, you know.
I kind of thought so too. I mean, I kind of like her a little bit. Because I think Good Morning My Dick was one of my favorite things that I used to say before COVID. Good morning, my dick.
Yeah. And
that's the best part of waking up, y'all. Better than Folgers.
Cup.
Dick in your cup. Jeez.
Instead of a dick in a box, honey, it's a dick in a cup. You'll be bad. I like my coffee like my dick, black and hot in the cup.
There you go. I love it. So, y'all, Debbie is basically trying to defend Colt as usual. And Vanessa shows up too, Colt's like, hey, Vanessa. And everyone's like, hey, Vanessa. And Larissa screams at Vanessa, crocodila. And I looked it up. And in Portuguese, when you call someone a crocodile, it is someone who cannot be trusted. And also someone who's a fake. But I loved, she called her Crocodilo Girl at least twice.
Yeah, she did.
I just saw Vanessa's like face growing out and going, snap, snap, snap.
She has a very interesting face, very interesting, weird eyes. Her eye makeup looked really crazy, you know. She and their timeline of what it is like so, okay, it's so strange, right? It's like it's a messed up timeline of like them being together or just like sleeping together. But then he asks if she will be his girlfriend. She says no. And then he starts dating other people, but they sleep together again. And then she's just living together, but he doesn't want to be with him because she doesn't want to be with him because he lies to women. Like, what?
It's all garbage. That sex only happened because they would drink together. That's has to be it. That's the only reason you fuck cult.
Yeah.
Is you made a poor decision after like four whiskey sours.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that he tells these women like things they want to hear too. I think that he, you know, I think obviously you said gaslight. I think that he's a crazy manipulator. And I think that he also finds women who intrinsically want something that, you know, isn't just like his sparkling personality. Like they want something from him. And like, unfortunately now he gets to offer these women fame, which is abhorrent.
He's also very intelligent and plays women for that. And he also finds women who most of the time, besides Vanessa, whose language is not first English. And so he can kind of pull one over on them easier. And you're right. He finds vulnerable women who he's gross. He's a fucking predator.
Yeah, he is. And his mom is messed up too, honey. And they're so gross together. And like he toggles in this two-part tell-all between sometimes being like, so what, Jessica? Like I didn't love you. Like it's almost like throwing it in her face. And sometimes it's like, Jessica, I'm really sorry. I didn't love you, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
He kind of goes between like being really mean about it, like wanting to be like an asshole, and then being like, I don't know.
He Ike Turners like 11 times in their segment. Yeah. And it's so creepy. And I loved it though when Jess even said, Jess said, why did you date me if you love Vanessa? Because he said, I love Vanessa. And he's like, well, because she said no and I would have dated her otherwise.
Yeah.
And she's like, that's not what you said before. And it's like he just come up with all these reasons, and he even said this sounded like such a cavalier. It's like, I'm sorry that you were in a shitty relationship with me. Not I'm sorry for what I did to you. I'm sorry you were in a shitty relationship with me, which means you had a lot to do with it. Translation.
Yeah, you agreed to it.
It was
relationship rapist, like, you know, in the
he is. That's a great way to put it.
Yeah, it's really manipulative. It's really hard to watch. The Debbie thing in him is so gross. Like that's a whole other layer. Like if he was just, I mean, it would be abhorrent to watch him being a manipulative gaslighter to this woman the whole time. But then to add in this, like, watch him next to his crazy ass mom. You know that, like, during the commercial breaks, honey, he's like taking one of them titties out and sucking them in. You know, he likes like comfort suckle. That's how he's gotten through quarantine, honey. And they are dried, shriveled. Like that's why Larissa wanted small areolas, because she had seen Debbie's wrinkly old bologna size nips the whole time, and she's like, I don't want the Debbie areolas. And so she got her areolas to be the size of like amoebas, you know, like that's what the look is. But at the same time, it's because of what Debbie did. I mean, this is like a Grey Gardens hell they live in, you know. Like,
we don't know. Totally.
Watching Debbie, and this is the perfect thing to bring up to on this podcast, watching Debbie and Colt is like watching a weird version of Grey Gardens and Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, because they're playing mind games with each other and around each other. Also a little bit of Cruel Intentions, Psycho. You know, the French version. Oh yeah, Psycho. But also these liaisons, because they're manipulating people.
Dangereux.
Yes, they're manipulating people, like, you know, like Debbie obviously didn't want Jess and her son to be in a relationship. At the same time, there's unspoken sexual attention across. I mean, it is a three, those three things together for me. Grey Gardens, Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, and Dangerous Liaisons.
When Sean Robinson asked, we're getting ahead of ourselves, but at the end, how much sex are you having? I expected Colt to raise his hand and say how much he was having with Debbie as well.
Just the usual.
Yeah, it's we haven't changed much since quarantine.
Yeah, same for us.
We bang it out twice a week.
We're going to talk about that though, the sex question, right? Because Eric's answer with Larissa was so crazy.
I've got a lot of thoughts about him.
We've
talked about him consistently on the podcast, and he's such an enigma for me, and he fascinates me and also repels me, and I don't know why. Speaking of, we had someone send me, and I can't share it because I promised they would not. I am a position of his penis. And
good
I will.
Good morning, penis. You have a good morning, Eriki.
Good morning, my dick, Eriki. Yeah. I will say this to you, Chris. I was surprised.
Okay.
I was surprised. It is a very memorable penis. It is definitely something that is worth taking a chance on. It is definitely...
Take a chance on me.
Suck a dick.
Eriki.
Okay. Now, it is ample in proportions. There's something about him that's so repellent, though, and I don't know what it is. And I feel like... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
He looks to me, no, sorry. In the tell, he looked like a 22-year-old constantly in an old face app.
Yes! Was his hair. But, like, there's also something that is, he's not all the way there. He's not all the way there. And I feel like there's, I feel like either he's a huge phony who's got a kind of a narcissism thing going on, or... We think he's got some kind of sexual compulsion thing. We think he's probably bi, almost certainly. I think he's been up front about it. And I think being on television and being a man who he thinks he has to be highly sexual to show he's really into women. And we think he protests too much about it.
Yes.
There's something about him. And like the fact that he wears... He had on a collared shirt today. Production bought him so many V-necked shirts in every most unflattering color possible for him.
Yes.
Yeah. All disturbing.
He's very interesting. I do feel like he's fake. Of course, he wants to be in the show. Like, I do can't stand when he talks. He talks like he is going to walk you through each decimal.
Yes.
Honey, he is signing his own talking in a version of sign language that we don't know. You know, like, that's one thing. And then, it was crazy how much he internalized and made, like, her surgeries all about him. Like, he literally was like, they talk about people going through surgery, but what they don't talk about is the people not in surgery just waiting for them, and how hard it is for them, the people just waiting, not in surgery, to watch these people recover. It's hard for me. I'm talking about me. I mean, just like, oh, my God.
He tried to cry almost as hard as Darcy and Stacey in this last episode. And they've had so much work. They've had so much work that can just do this. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if a little poop leaked out when they were trying to cry.
Yeah. That was a very good Silver Sister. You did for me just now.
It
was very good.
Anyway, so... basically, Colt says, he finally says, you know, Jess, I don't know why I lied to her. This is the weirdest explanation. She gave me this identity as like her boyfriend, and I just want to have a family, and I want to like be, and I want to have an identity, and I'm 35, and I don't know who I am yet. And I was like, I know.
You what victim-y you McVictim.
Right? And it was so awful because it was like he was in some type of like one of those really bad existential plays written in the 90s about being in your 30s, like we were going to do the movie Sideways again. And Colt, like, I just want to go drink wine. I don't know who I am. Maybe I need a different career. Do I want to be an artist? Yeah, aww. It just felt so bad to me. God. And so... Basically, and then so Vanessa Vanessa chimes in again, and Larissa, in her milkmaid braids, screams, "Liar, crocodilo girl!" again.
Yeah, I love her milkmaid braids. Honey, those titties are so big. That's another reason why she had to have a small areola, because literally you would see them in like what she's wearing. They are so hard. Jake, they are just the hardest beach balls, like just...
They're going to choke her. If she can't sleep on her back because they threaten her breathing. I will say those boobs are too big, but she said she wanted to be a blow up doll.
Doctor gave me the heebie jeebies.
Oh, you mean Dr. Lane when he's like, the areolas are a little big. We had a bunch of people in our sissy squad say, you know what? My areolas look like cup saucers and I'm fine with it.
Yeah. Mine are salami sized, you know, like mine are salami sized, you know, like. And here's the thing. I have big breasts. You know this. You know,
she's got
like
big boobs.
Yeah, they're huge. And they're naturally big. And that's, you know, you could be whatever. I'm just saying, from my experience, having naturally big boobs, you're going to have like a bigger areola. Yeah. That's just how things go hand in hand.
It's natural.
You know? You can't be a tall person with small feet. You'll fall over. Well, your nipples will slide off your titties if you don't have the areolas. A big anchor. You need an anchor areola for them titties. from them nips.
It's true, because when you've got a big, if you've got a big breast, that baby needs a lot of surface area just to latch on.
Yes, yes. You got to find it. But also, it's too, one big blob. If you don't show them where they are, like you're getting warm. You know, it's like you're getting warm. This is where the nipple is. You're almost there. Not quite there yet, but this is the general direction, you know. Because if you don't have the areola, the nipple looks like a mosquito bite. You don't even know what it is.
That is true. I'm freaked out by guys with really, really big nipples. But tiny nipples freak me out too, even more so, I think. They're just little, they're like, tick, tick, like little, two little X's.
Yeah.
So anyway, the rest of this scene is basically like Debbie shouting and Vanessa shouting and Larissa calls everyone, "Beachy's you ugly asshole."
You have a no morals.
I will say, I would love Larissa so much more if she just let everyone else hang themselves. But she's still so reactive.
Are people in your sissy squad, and because I get a lot of this, which I totally get, like, are people upset at Larissa, though, because of the fact that she has three kids in Brazil we never talk about? She keeps having these surgeries.
We get that. I mean, we haven't seen the previous seasons. So we know, I only know her from this, but we know about them.
You have to absolutely watch the first season of Colty and Larissa. It's crazy.
Don't worry. Okay. We're going to do it we've been watching previous episodes in our Patreon. With that, I want to take a quick break. We'll be right back, you guys.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass!" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Poodle, you know when you're listening to a song on the radio and you get the profound feeling that the song playing was written about you?
Oh, it's not a feeling. I know a lot of songs are written about me.
What?
Yeah, when they get a little bite of Poodle, it's hard to let go. There are too many songs to even elaborate on.
That's fine. You don't have to tell us about them.
You know, the song The Scientist about me?
You slept with Chris Martin?
Coldplay.
I know he's from Coldplay.
No, I slept with Coldplay. All of them. Keep up. Lionel Richie, he was stuck on me from the very beginning. Who do you think suggested Nicole should go to boarding school?
Okay, we get it. No, Poodle, I bring this up because apparently you know what it's like to have a song written just for you, but for the rest of us mere mortals.
Your words.
Imagine having the power to gift that same incredible feeling to someone you love with an original song from Songfinch that actually is written just for them. Sissies, Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and it lasts forever.
Oh, I love this idea. Flowers die, chocolates melt, but a song is eternal. Unless it's a poorly written song, then bury that thing forever.
Agreed. But I have to say, the songs from Songfinch are really fantastic. They're thoughtful, and they sound like something you would hear on the radio.
Okay, but is it hard to set up? Probably takes a lot of work, right?
Not at all. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
Well, that sounds easy enough.
I know. I just submitted a song request for something I want to use on our tour, and I cannot wait to get it back. And based on the sample recordings I heard when I was choosing the singer, it's going to be so good. I also love that they had unique add-ons that make the gift even more special, like a vinyl record of your song or a one-of-a-kind art piece made from your lyrics. Or you could even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Well, Maddie, I want to have a song written about me.
But Poodle, you just said you had.
I want more.
Hush. Sissies, whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, or an upcoming graduation or wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their songs to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime. Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us too. songfinch.com/realitygaze.
You know, Maddie, this reminds me, you know that song from the Four Tops, Can't Help Myself?
Oh, I love that song. Sugar Pie Honey Bunch.
Yep, about me. And the funny thing is, they really are Four Tops.
Yo, what you missed during the break was Chris Farah deep-throating her Yeti mic.
That's the noise I decided. You know,
you're going to fit in perfectly. All we talk about is blowjobs, jizz, dicks, and occasionally the people on this show. I think we were almost done here. I just want to say one more thing about Jess and Colt and Debbie and Larissa. That sounds like Bob, Carol, Ted, and Alice, like that play
yep.
where they all sleep together.
Yes. Groundbreaking theater.
Two people out there went, I saw that. The rest of people went, let's change the channel. So Colt leans in right at the end and goes, hey, Jess. How you doing?
Yes.
It was my blood turned to ice. It was just, and like, I'm not female, but I feel a lot of empathy every time I see a woman getting kind of creeped out.
Yes, I think, like, why are you suddenly being nice to me? I don't.
Yeah.
What is this? I don't.
And she's yeah. like, why are you talking to me? At one point,
I would have been like, everyone just saw that, right? I would have been like, we're all on Zoom and we just all just saw that what he just did, right? That was horrifying.
Sean Robinson comes in with like, I can't help overhearing.
Really, like, Sean?
Bet you're on the same Zoom call.
Yeah.
It was so stupid.
The dumbest.
I think I'm ready to move on to... Now, I know you probably say Tanya and Sinjin. On our show, we say Tania and Sinjin. Because that's how it's spelled. I will correct you if you say Tanya. Don't worry.
There is no Y there. You're right. It is an I.
We've had... I would love another perspective. Because last season, if you were to say the name Tania, I could chew nails at you. Because, as I've said last season, Tania is your woke friend who you invite to things. And she's like, she starts talking and everyone else goes, why is she fucking talking? I hate her. Why do we invite her? And the weirdest thing is we all know Tania is very intelligent. And Tania has, like, I also say that there are two Tanias. There is the Tania who is very emotionally aware. And there's the one who she hides that's like, I need love and I need attention. I need a baby in me right now. I need everything that I know I shouldn't have cerebrally. Mm-hmm. She's like that division. And it's so frustrating to see who's going to come out. Mm-hmm. What are your Tania thoughts? Because she is so divergent in the 90 Day Fiancé world. Like, you either love her or you hate her.
Yeah, I will say this. First season, she was villainous. You know, like, she made no sense. She made this. Yeah, she started the way she literally started off. Was like, I met this white dude in South Africa, which if you know anything about apartheid or like, you know, apartheid and like what's happening politically there, like, yeah, like a bunch of white people in South America, I'm sorry, in South Africa, like.
Racist.
They live in a society where like the black people are like treated like second class citizens and they were like the original inhabitants and these white people came and colonized and blah, blah, blah. So there's like inherently like a racist or like, undertone to like where he's from. So when we first met Sinjin, it's Tania being like, you know, he had never really like had talked to like brown people and like blah blah blah, and you're like, oh my god, it's gonna be all about this. But then we meet Sinjin and he like never once has one morsel of like a racist moment where you're just like, this is just like a happy-go-lucky dude for like, is just, you know, in his own way, also in not in the Asuelu way, but also just like simple, you know, like he wants to like have fun, be with his friends, be with his family, drink, make a little money, feel good, have a good time, be happy.
Yeah.
Period. The end, you know, like
it's very Jack and Diane. It's just like, let's just have a little house. And yeah. I can drink.
Yeah. Yeah. And then she's the one, honey. Then so he has to go to America. She leaves him. She like studies being a witch doctor when making crazy ass soaps, honey, with a bunch of, you know, and they're all like free tittied running around, you know, and he's just there having to like rake leaves in her mom's backyard. Like, I felt so bad for him. And then, of course, he's just obsessed with her. And then she's just like, you're not my soulmate. So that's how she's like Elida. Like, you're just like, you're a monster. Then we see her this season and nothing happens except they go to his home and they just keep having meal after meal where she doesn't remember she's not amongst her friends. She's amongst
his friends. Thank you. And here's the thing, too.
Yes.
Would you?
She's unaware.
Can you absolutely imagine if your fiance's family, if your in-laws and your family, and you behaved that way at a family barbecue where you...
Bry.
I think the bris is a circumcision. But it's a whole different barbecue. Cigar!
Some meat's being cooked. Okay, I don't know.
But honestly, that was a problem for me. But I will say, she's been, I haven't hated her as much this season, and it's bothered me. Because I have so much rage inside for previous season, Tania. And to me, Sinjin's been really problematic this season. about kind of not really wanting to do anything. And I really do believe that they're still coasting on their own sexual attraction for one another.
Yes. Yes.
And she still thinks it's going to manifest into something else. And it's not going to.
Because we have to remember, he does drink and so does she.
Yeah.
He is drunk. Yeah. She drinks a lot though too. So they get drunk together. They bone all the time.
Yeah. And I think, and I'm not even saying Sanchin's an alcoholic, but he obviously has issues surrounding alcohol. Mm-hmm. I mean, y'all, he said, would you stop drinking or get a divorce? And he's like, well, I'm not going to stop drinking. Y'all, that's a red flag.
Yeah.
If your significant other, if I had a really, I don't know, my guy would have to really be hot if I'd stop drinking. But it's something we could talk about.
Like, this bitch doesn't even think that I'm her soulmate, though. So what am I going to give up drinking for? Drinking is now my soulmate. You know who drinking, they were told, I'm not drinking soulmate, so this bitch can keep whatever, you know, her first boyfriend.
Agreed.
I wanted to say, just for someone who tries to be so woke, she's the most asleep person in the whole world. Like, she's asleep.
I totally agree. And I think, too, she was amazed by the edit she got last season. Mm-hmm. And you notice she burned that pink shirt. She's been very careful about how she's appeared on camera all the time. She's almost always got makeup on, hair fixed.
That's great.
She lost some LBs.
She lost them.
Yeah. He found them.
Yeah. And ate them. Drake and ate them.
And I will say, I feel like she's a much bigger catch than he is. I think she's a very intelligent girl or woman. Sorry. I've been trying to say in my life not to say woman and say girl. Everyone correct me when I say that. So Tania even says, well, I'm someone who dreams of the future, and this is someone who's never thought of the future. So it's really hard to compare these. And that's where, y'all, that's what she lives day in and day out. And I'm not saying neither of these are good people. I'm saying they're a bad fucking match.
Match, yeah.
Period.
Tania wants a go-getter, bread maker, ambitious man. You know, like she said something interesting during the season, which was confusing a little bit, because the first season, I was like, what does she want to do? She wants to open up a witch doctor soap factory. I don't know, honey, but that's what it was, I guess.
It changes from week to week.
We stopped hearing about it. We haven't heard anything about that soap. Who knows how the soap's doing? Okay. And then now she had something where she's like, she says something to him like, you say that you love me and you support my dreams, and I want to be a housewife, and I'm with someone who doesn't want to buy me a house. And I was like, oh, yes, he doesn't want to buy you a house. This is not the one. This is, look at him. He's not house, I'm going to buy a house type person.
Yeah. I think everything for her was in theory until they got married. And then she becomes, okay, this is how it's going to be. We're going to get a house. We're going to have 2.5 children. We're going to get a dog. We're going to get a fucking minivan. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I'm from South Africa. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
That people have actually told me never to do that accent or an Irish accent again. So apparently we have fans who actually know what they are, live in those countries, and that we do have an Irish, and I think I went, and she's like, for everyone who listens and for yourselves, never do an accent like that again.
For yourselves. Have some respect for yourself. Have some dignity. You lost it.
I can respect it.
Do you think Sinjin's hot?
You know, He went in and out for me. I wish he'd go in and out on me. I'll tell you what.
I was waiting for it.
I swear to God, he fucks good. I am certain if he's not blitzed. Then he just rolls around. It's not real big, though. It's kind of fat.
Now, yeah, it's girthy. It's short and girthy.
It's girthy.
Like him. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. But I'm not, I was more attracted to him the first season. Short-haired St. John is gorgeous. I don't, I'm not a big hair, big fan of the Beauty and the Beast Ron Perlman look. for him pining over Linda Hamilton in the sewers.
Okay. Yeah. Now, you think, anyway. But you think Andre's hot, right? Because I think Andre's hot.
Andre's hot, Chris.
Why is he so fucking hot? I mean, I'm just like, ugh. Five times a week, honey, she gets to come home to that and that baby and a clean car.
I want him to pummel me like a jackhammer. Is it over?
Do you think that her and her crazy ass white privileged, like dumb, stupid, uncultured family, like said all that shit about him when all I would kill is just be able to like have sex with him and eat bacon for the rest of my life? Like,
that's all I want to do with him. We went off on that family's the worst of America. And they are your typical, if you've ever toured Europe, Andre's or Libby's family are the kind walking behind you in Notre Dame with slippers and asking if they can take a close up picture of one of the nuns. They're the worst. They're the worst of America. We've been big Andre defenders because we want to bone him. And he's a little, he's tough, y'all. He's misogynist and that's just him. But you know what? She fucking loves it.
Loves
and they
it.
Go fucking like role play. She craves it.
Yeah, she craves it.
I need to excuse myself in an interior room now, thinking about Andre.
They were super gross. I definitely don't want them to have a spinoff. And what maybe, of course, like the most irate is that, A, there are mugshots, of course, as your listeners know, and as you know, there are instances of like Libby's family having arrested for like drunk driving or like public nuisance, whatever. It's like they have like such a trashy past and they... Yeah. Are trash and I personally feel like being uncultured and not having like a graciousness or an understanding or like an empathy and or an appreciation for other cultures like makes you I think it looks like you are a peasant. So like all of their like looking down on Moldova culture and cuisine and peoples, I'm just like, you are trash. I don't care how expensive or how rich you think you are and you're like dad's one business and all you have to live off of him, but you're nothing in this world. You're uneducated, I mean, basic ass people. Basic ass.
That's basic ass, exactly the way to describe them.
Yeah.
I'm glad we didn't have to see Jen again and her like orange face.
Or honey, that dining room that she's sitting in front of, is that her dining room? Oh, I'm sorry. I know your one is like, I'm going through bankruptcy, but I definitely didn't need you to go and buy every goddamn thing and like put all your like thankful words up everywhere. Ugh.
It was totally from Pier One. I also suggested a couple of pieces from Cost Plus World Market.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, a little bit of the wooden things, that's Cost Plus.
Yeah.
Okay. But anyway, like, we're going to talk about Andre. Actually, we can jump to, we'll talk about the sex in just a minute. But
I guess one thing, did you feel like, remember when St. John's friends came on and they were like, okay, well, this is what happened. Like, he brought home Tanya and it was just like, we were all living, we were chill. We were just three dudes living our lives, honey. We drink all night long. And then one of our best friends brings home this girl who just starts bossing us around, telling us the way we live ain't good enough for her, like American standards, and she wants things clean or whatever. And like, I really felt, I was like, oh, like Tanya just came in and like doesn't give an F, does not care how she comes across, you know?
No.
Like,
the weirdest thing is how much, even though she loves other cultures and how much she talks about being so woke, she's so fucking American to the core.
Yeah.
And I think she hates that part of herself because we saw her on the, she's like, how do you think you got to America?
Yes.
It's like that Cecily Strong girl you met at a party on SNL. And she's like, she's like, this is America.
Yes.
Yeah.
I never thought about Jay, but Jay, you are so right. Because yeah, that conversation happened where it was like, oh, you know, I've accomplished things. And he's like, I've done great things. She's like, well, your biggest accomplishment is because of me. Like, I got you to America as if that's the biggest accomplishment. Ah, yes! You're right. She's a nightmare. She is a nightmare. But she, you know, she looks good. So she looks, I think she did look good.
She's an absolute nightmare. I think she needs to be with the right person. She needs to be the one. You know what she needs, actually?
What
she needs a man who will go, yeah, you're right, and who she can kind of be the kind of dominant person, and who she can kind of like have freaky deaky sex with and do anything, but who has a good job and is a dependable guy and is like her equal in a lot of things. She has a very small rubric of a guy she can be with, and and she probably won't have the best sex with this guy, but it doesn't matter. She needs some guy who she can be in a good partnership with. Otherwise, it's never going to work.
She's always going to be telling him what to do, though. That's obvious. Yeah. And whether she finds someone who's a little more submissive or a little more go with the flow, that's fine. It's too bad that Sinjin's like opera singing career didn't. Remember that?
Okay.
Remember
As
that?
Someone who does this for a living, the fact that you can just be an opera singer without a lot of education or an apprenticeship program, or you can just...
He was singing in the mine. You know, he sang in the mine.
I was always speechless when he would talk about this, but this is the fact you could just like audition for a regional opera and they don't get people from other places. It's a circuit, y'all. You have to go to school, you have to go to an apprenticeship program, and then you have to get an agent. Ask Alyssa Albertson. She's in our squad. And I think, what do you think about his friends? I think his friends are hot. Sinjin's South African friends.
I didn't think they were hot. No, I wouldn't say that. But I thought they were cute.
It's been quarantine for me, so I would basically fuck Danny DeVito at this point.
Ooh, yeah. Girthy. I was kidding.
Girthy. Danny DeVito as the Penguin in Batman, I would fuck
him. Oh, honey. Then might as well as fuck Ed, then, if that's what you're going to do.
There's something gross about that.
There's a lot gross about
it.
Just a little bit.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's about it for
Angela.
Them. There's a lot of crosstalk between the rest of them. I think that's it. So we can talk about, before we get to Angela, let's talk about the sex.
Great.
So Sean's like, so since this is the newlywed game, let's talk about how many times we make whoopee a week.
I wanted them to have cards and be like when a guy puts up one and the girl puts up one, they see if they match, you know?
I mean, I was like, I guess we've run out of things to talk about.
I'm surprised that Sean wasn't like, who usually initiates it? And it could be like, you know, Eric could be like, Larissa, and like Lisa would be like, me, you know, or whatever.
Crocodila.
Another reason why we know Jess is showing up and just like doing this for whatever is because she's now already married to some
already
dude
married.
That she met through Carmen and Larissa. Like that, I mean.
She's already married. Yeah. Anyway, good for you, Jess. You got yours.
Yeah, I haven't gotten mine.
I know. I'm still looking for mine, too. Mm-hmm. So Sean basically says, has the pandemic been better or worse for your sex life? Andre and Libby says, 5 times a week. And I go, that's exactly what I did. Y'all, Chris Ferrer just licked her lips, and I'm thinking about doing the same. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I have to do my job, right? And I'm like,
you do have to do your job. Honey, clock in. yeah.
I will say, as much as weird-faced, I always say Elizabeth's mouth bothers me. It's like her mouth is upside down or something.
Mm-hmm. It's tiny and upside down.
Oh, it just always bothers me. Like, with all her bitching and moaning about her family and how Andre doesn't want to work and how she does the stuff and Andre takes care of the kids, you know what? She's getting that fucking like Moldovan D, and she fucking loves it. Mm-hmm. Because that's the only thing that turns that frown upside down. Mm-hmm. The mm-hmm. only time she smiles is when she's getting banged, y'all.
Yes,
she bangs.
Yes.
He bangs.
Yes, yes, yeah, 5 times a week. I love they said that, and then Sean Robinson's like, "Well, sometimes you can subtract too. Is that right?" And he's like, oh, "It's different every week." Now we didn't talk about this, and this is like their whole thing was, it is hard for me to remedy this. It's like if you want to be in a traditional cisgender relationship,
yeah,
if you want that, if you want to subscribe to traditional gender roles, then we would then with what we know, right, the man. Man comes home, he brings home money, he has a job, and there, thusly, he sort of makes decisions for the household. And the women, right, after giving birth to the kids and then having to feed them from their body, which still happens, you know, and tend to them, and they're like, mm-hmm. if they don't have a job, they like, I mean, truly, I feel like women usually make decisions anyway, or they're, you know, like kind of like really frame the decision. So the men yeah. choose, but the women are like, yeah, but it's between these two, or whatever it is. He does not bring home any money, and yet he no. does want to make all the decisions. And I think
it's
that
a problem.
I don't understand why he isn't more like, it's a problem. I also want to make money, but I have to wait for this or whatever. But he's kind of like, no, I'll make decisions and whatever's happening. She's making more money, so it's fine. It's like, no, you should want to make money. You should want to make more money too. You know?
And I feel like, yeah. And I feel like that's one part where he can't even argue. And if she were to say, why don't we try, we will switch completely. I'll stay home with the kid. You go out and work. And they would just say, let's just try this. Let's experiment and see what we think about this. And they could finally see it from the other side for one time, instead of her saying, get a job. He's like, I take care of kid. Get a job. I can take it. So maybe they could do like a Wilma Flintstone, Fred Flintstone, where she goes to the quarry and Fred is like washing dishes and he doesn't know what to do. But it's not that funny with them.
Not as funny. Sexy, less not sex. Funny.
Not, yeah. That's, yeah. And then Eric, Tanya and Sinja says there's four with foreplay. They have mm-hmm. four, because you're right. They're exactly right. They have a couple drinks. He gets horny. He bangs her. And she yeah. likes the sex.
Yeah, she's also drunk, because she's also drunk.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah. Eric and Larissa, five okay. times, and everything
regular
else
regular sex, yes.
What Wait, is Zane, regular sorry. Sex? For the other time is foreplay. What is regular sex? Is that just missionary? And the other stuff is when, like, he's hanging down in a sling and you're pegging him?
That's exactly. I wanted to know. I'm like, okay, so blowjobs, like, does that mean, like, you're not counting blowjobs? Are you talking only, like, yeah, vaginal, you know, like, sexy yeah. goose, you know, like, what is it? But and also to have Larissa be like, Eriki has so much experience with multiple women, you know, I don't
know. And boys.
It. Yeah,
I will say, don't I've been it. With some bi guys. They are wonders. They know their way around the equipment. Mm-hmm. Let's just say that. And they are pretty uninhibited about it. Mm. And because they've been experienced. And the bi guy, they're with a guy for one aspect, and they're usually with a girl for another aspect.
Interesting.
But, yeah.
It's like they're with the guy for like, because guys can just do like, guys talk their own language, honey, and they can just like, don't have to care.
You know the
and,
equipment
like, all the,
really well. You know the equipment.
Yeah, you don't have to like play all the games. You have to play with females of like talking them into certain
totally.
Or whatever. Yeah.
I'm willing. I'm seeing every dick as a lifeboat.
Honey, send him a dinghy. Yeah. Send him a dinghy at least. Yeah. Man overboard.
Man overboard. Every
Honey,
day
first
like
mate, send him a captain.
Anyway, and so Colt, she basically talks to Colt a little bit, and Colt's like, I just need to say, this was my least favorite quote of the entire thing. I just want to say, I love to beep, which meant I love to fuck. And for those who know why I say fuck that way, it was because that one guy, time I hooked up with a deaf guy and he said bunk. Chris's eyes just sparked. I'll tell you the whole story when we're done. I won't even know.
I cannot wait. I cannot wait. Oh my God.
That's so I always say funk. One day, this is when if Matt and I ever get a TV show, this is why all of these episodes are going to have to go away.
Yeah. Yes. I'll anyway. Describe every part of like anything we've ever done.
Totally. Y'all, yeah. You're never going to be able to find those. You need to download them and just share later on.
Yeah, screen grab them now.
So anyway, they're talking about, and Angela basically said he and Michael had 38 times in 2 weeks. And I said, wow, think of the chafing.
Yeah. Or how much lube that was.
Oh, she had to bring probably a bucket of lube.
Yeah.
She could have used boy butter. Boy butter, you should sponsor 90 Day Gays.
But what if she just, honey, what if she has that wop? That wop, 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 wop.
Maybe. But let's be honest, she doesn't.
No, she doesn't have an egg. It doesn't have a wop, honey. Things she doesn't have. The ability to bear children, nor any moisture. Yeah.
One like of those an old night
for Halloween. Weekend. Yeah. There's one little witch somewhere in her like cervix just like roaming around, honey, with her like gray hairs blouncing in the breeze, honey. She's making sure
God
it's all fine.
Bless. So you're an Angela fan. Mm-hmm. Tell us why you love her, because Angela definitely has her detractors.
Oh, yeah. You know, Angela and I have a lot not in common, you know, right. Like she's not someone who I don't think that I could go on a long road trip with her. I don't think that I could deal with her. She's very dramatic, very loud, and she can be mean and biting and incredibly rude and trashy. And yet she also has a warmth and utter joy that is palpable not only from her, but radiates to other people around her. The way that she interacts with Michael's mom, the way, you know, like she's like, I forgot the word that she uses for Michael's mom or whatever.
I can't remember it either.
Yeah, for being, you know, for everything we just talked about Libby's family, right? Like, and they're just like hoity-toity, you know, like whatever country club-esque wannabes. They go to a country and they trash on every part of it. Angela isn't going to Nigeria and being like, every part of it's great. She doesn't want to eat the goat head or whatever, and that makes sense. But she, like, doesn't trash on the, like, culture the way that a lot of these other Americans, including Lisa and Usman, did. You know,
yeah.
Like, you have side-by-sides of Lisa and Lisa's wedding there in her garb and Angela, two different women, like, Angela is like actually smiling and having fun at her wedding and like talking to people, and she laughs and you're like, oh, that's a genuine laugh. We know what those, you know, like, so because of all of that, and because of the fact that she for some reason tends to be like somewhat natural on camera, and also I feel like I distinctly understand her utter wants and needs in a super objective way, she is an empathetic character, you know, and all of the like stuff I don't like, the Trump boxers and like the fact that she, you know, whatever it is, it's like, give me Angela. She is the most real and most well-rounded character, I think, of the 90 universe.
I think that's a really good defense of her. And I could, and I've heard some people say they don't like her being abusive. There have been times this season where she's been pretty awful. But I'd still understand it. But you're exactly right about the joy that she brings to people around her. And I think that comes from, there's something about Southern women, especially that kind of deep South, where it's like, mm-hmm. you are there to bring joy, and
yes.
you have to keep everyone happy around you because life
yes.
is shit where you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's a tough woman. She has like that Southern kind of like grit yeah. to her. Like, you know, yeah. like she's like a tough matriarch grit. Like she has to be there for her mama. She has them kids, honey. She's been taking care of Scotty's kids right. and Skylar's kids. They all live in the goddamn same house. You know, she's like working as a nurse or whatever. I don't understand how she makes any money whatsoever. I don't understand how she even lives. You know,
no, like, she's a home health aide. She's not a nurse. She's just like fucking hospice. Yeah. What she tells you, she sees some shit on a daily basis. Literally some shit. Like she sees people shit it. Themselves.
Yeah, she has to clean it.
And but I think that makes her really strong. And I think so what do you think Angela and Michael will make it?
No. And I think that the last moments of this tell all were very hard to watch. Because Michael has always been very upfront, and we have talked about Michael's want for a baby a lot. And I think that, you know, whether we were super clear of whether it was his desire or his family's desire, I think that like this tell-all like made it sure like it isn't like his family's doing this and he is not standing up to his family. And he's like, it's not because they want this for me. It's because it's right. In his mind, it is right for him to have an heir, you know? And so I don't understand, you know, this is where it gets confusing with cultures, because in one hand you're like, okay, well, Michael, why don't you understand that she's old and she can't have a baby? And it's like, yeah, person saying, Angela, why don't you understand that he's from a culture where he can just have a baby with another woman? It's not a big deal. You know, and so it's like there's a miscommunication or an understanding. Angela's like, in Angela's mind, she's like, I don't want Michael to come to America, find some woman, and then bring that child in the house. And I have to see the woman around, and I have to see the child, I have to take care of the child, feed the child, give money to the child. It's like, to me, it's like, I talked a lot with my subscribers last night in my live, like, what is the best situation? And one person, I think her name is Pamela, I hope it was you, Pamela, said the best situation would be like if two lesbians could give like, I don't know, like somehow like be a surrogate or like give him what he needs, and then like she wouldn't feel like threatened by them sexually, Angela.
That's,
you know,
dead on, because Angela is a woman driven by fear. Mm-hmm. Fear motivates her more than anything else. And the idea of having another woman who's younger in her house. First of all, she'd have to have them live under the house with her, with the same roof, because she'd need to make sure her baby is being taken care of. And Michael living there too. You can get an erection or whatever. And she's driven by the fear. Number one, the fear of losing her husband now. The fear of dying, and her mother's death even made it even more. And the fear of dying alone, even worse. She's driven by that. And then Aunt Lydia comes in, not the one from, as I always say, not the one from Handmaid's Tale, not Ann Dowd.
Not the exact same, though.
No.
You can't tell them apart.
I saw Ann Dowd in a play about a year ago, and I wanted to go up to her and saying, you know, there's an Aunt Lydia on television too. We talk about you all the time. I said, I've name checked you several times on the podcast, but I didn't want to like hang out and stay around.
Oh, too bad.
She'd
in my
like,
dream, you
fuck
would.
Away from me.
In my dream, she'd be like, yeah, Aunt Lydia, if Angela's, let's talk about it. You know, she'd be like such a big, big 9 Day fan, that Ann Dowd.
Yeah, look up Ann Dowd. Ann Dowd is pretty spectacular. If you've never seen The Leftovers, Ann Dowd kind of made The Leftovers as her, that kind of like terrible person. Anyway, Aunt Lydia basically has suggested IVF, and she suggested all these things. So like, and we all know how expensive fertility treatments are. Hundreds of thousands, yes. I have friends who've done it, and they say, yeah, we were thinking about doing house payment, but we decided IVF anyway instead.
So crazy, yeah.
You know, and so basically you guys, and Sean Robinson is trying to get at this. There are two options here. You do surrogacy, Skyla's egg. And Skyla said already, you ain't getting my egg because that's like my child. Now, the fact that all the other 90 Day cast members said, I side with Skyla because no one should be pressuring you for your motherfucking egg. And I agree.
Your genetic material. Angela's like, it's basically my egg, though. And he wouldn't even have eggs if it wasn't for me and whoever your daddy is. I like Angela. I'm just like, yeah, Skyla, you live with Angela, though. You can give her an egg. By the way, like, you know.
You can just give her an egg. They'll take it out of you when you're sleeping.
She'll tote it. Angela totes, you know?
I felt really bad about them all coming at Skyla because that's a choice. And especially if you, and Tania's like, I'll give you an egg, Angela. And Angela's like, that's nice of you, Tonya, but we don't need no Yankee eggs up in here.
None of them curly brown eggs.
I wouldn't have no Connecticut. It's like a Connecticut egg. Connecticut egg in Arthur's court.
Yeah. In a good way. Great movie. I love the movie. I love the book. It's so good.
Denny Kaye? Yeah. Am I making that up?
Bing Crosby.
Yes. I think so. We just alienated about 90% of our listeners, but that's okay.
Also, now they're like, oh, we didn't know that this podcast was now hosted by, like, two ancient dinosaurs.
Two old gay men.
We're going to make a reference from that movie is old, you know, like.
Someone just said it on your Amazon wish list, it just, Metamucil just popped up because you listened to this podcast.
I felt bad for Michael the whole time. And I felt bad for Michael because Michael's like, this whole time you've been saying we can do IVF, though. Like, I don't understand. Yeah. And now she's like turning the corner. She's like, no, we can't do IVF. You know how expensive it is? And if I, you know, because you're going to spend all that money doing that, we can't do the things I want to do, like hack the Himalayas. Hack. She keeps saying,
she does.
She's like, what are you guys, what are you going to be hiking? What?
You know Angela's firmly in the no baby camp now. She has decided. She's like, why can't we get a dog? She has decided that they're in the no baby camp. Michael leaves. He's frustrated. Aunt Lydia's screaming. Anyway, just the way the tell-all should end of that part. And that's all. Do you have anything else about Angela?
Yeah, just one more thing is that Angela gave us the only moment she said and she discussed that she would beat Tammy up, you know, and like that was a moment of like a warning of violence or a threat of violence. And we all know that tell-alls have violence.
Yes.
And sometimes. And then Angela did what the big oh shit moment for Angela was so simple, but it made me LOL because it's all they could do is in a Zoom and be like, Angela gets so upset. And then she just kind of knocks over her computer. You guys remember that? So like, all you see is like, what? I'm not going to let you be a mom. And the big moment in the tell-all was just that Angela's computer like goes back, but it was supposed to be like very dramatic that she was going to stomp off and made me laugh.
For what it's worth, Chris Farrah is so meta, so method that she knocked over her own computer at that point. That was the big drama of the tell-all. And
They teased that moment over and over, Jacob, of Angela being so sad. That's all it was.
We've all been in COVID too long when someone taking their computer and it falling is the big moment of the tell-all.
Okay, I also said this, and I'm going to keep saying the things I said last night, but I wish, and I don't understand why they didn't have a bigger oh shit moment. Like, they wanted it, like, just to be like, and my fiance's in the room, and he would come in or whatever. What honestly should have happened, and this is why I should be, like, a consulting producer on this show, is I think that Ericky should have proposed to Larissa. Could you imagine
if... I was waiting for
it. That made no sense why, like, Sean was like, oh, right before we leave, I got a private message from Ericky that he wanted to just be able to say something. Like, Ericky, and then he'd be like, yeah, guys, you know, watching Larissa be on Jeff's door.
Be on, as it was really appealing to me.
Almost see them die, but throw up as much as I did. And she threw up a lot the first night. You know, and then he would propose, it'd be a big deal. You know, he get to like, you know, keep the narrative going that they're in a relationship, you know, and it would have been like big news. We like the next morning, the headline from the tell-all would be like, Larissa gets engaged. And you would have like a reaction shot of Ericky and hopefully Debbie. Like that would have been great TV, but it didn't happen. So Sharp, get at me. I'll make it happen for you.
I think, Matt Sharp, get at her. I think she's going to have to trap him to do that.
Maybe. She's fertile. We know. She has three.
She's quite fertile.
But she's going to have a baby after having a tummy tuck, which is...
That could be a problem. That could be a problem.
Not the best.
Definitely C-section. Because Eric will request that it be still tight. I think that's all we've got for this episode. Chris Farah, this has been absolutely wonderful. Thank you for jumping in like a member of League of Their Own.
Oh, honey, is she a peach? I have had such an amazing time. Thank you so much for inviting me. I love you so much. I love Maddie so much. You know, I love the show so much. I'm so happy to be part of the Sissy Squad.
Thank you. Tell people where you can find us, find you.
Well, you can, yeah. You can find me on all the social media sites. I'm on Instagram and Twitter at Chris L. Farah. The L is for luxury. And you can also, yes, honey, or Lebanese, honey, or lockdown. You can pick your favorite L. Of course, you can also go to my YouTube channel and subscribe to me there. I am Chris Farah on YouTube, C-H-R-I-S, F as in Frank, A-R-A-H, and I talk about this show and other shows. And also, I'm on Facebook. If you're on Facebook and you want to join another group, my group is called Vanity Farah, and we talk about this stuff, show and stuff like that.
And y'all, when we're talking about it, make sure you follow us at 90 Day Gays. You can go to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at 90 Day Gays. And also, you know, if you're so willing, Chris, are you on Cameo? You should get on Cameo.
I want either one to be on Cameo, but go on. Yes.
Is Fancy? Or
can you imagine?
You should do
Fancy OnlyFans.
Yes. No, you should do an OnlyFans. Yes. I love that idea.
I just had it. Side note is, Jake and I do this dumb show sometimes in normal COVID life, and that her name is Fancy, this show. You can follow her too, but I want to make an OnlyFans for her.
Yes, I can see it now. Break out the corset this evening. And you guys, one big reminder, this is the last day to register to vote in a lot of states. So make sure you do that if you are not already. Check if you're registered to vote at vote.org. You know, and make a plan tonight. Vote by mail. Vote early, do anything, but just make sure you have a plan, because you need to motherfucking vote. Oh, it's time.
And bring a millennial.
And bring
like millennial. That's another thing is, like, for everyone like our age, around our age, we're going to vote. But like, try and reach out to a younger person and be like, yo, 23-year-old John, what are you doing on November? You know, like, get some millennials to like, reach out to your millennials and get them like involved in voting. That's what we need. Amen. We need younger people to vote.
Amen. Totally. And you guys, remember, these people, just like us, they're lonely hearts like all of us out there. And if you have ever eaten a huge box of popcorn while someone makes a confession to you, call us. Bye.
Also, can you send me $100,000? Thank you. Sweet mom.
Poodle, I need to talk to you about something that happened at our New York live show.
The lying designer said it was his first time and that his wife didn't care.
No, Poodle. It's just that people are talking about your outfit from the show.
Oh, yes. My corset that I bought online that was specially made for my body. It accentuated my creamy shoulders and gave me a waist cinched for the gods.
Well, also, I don't know how to say this, but some sissies said their male husbands noticed your...
caboose? Men flock to my posterior. It makes sense.
No, the other side. They noticed your junk.
Oh, my.
And apparently there was some jealousy. I can't believe I'm talking about this. But some men said you looked very junk forward, and some male sissies in the audience were a little jealous.
Well, they should be. I bring the heat. Well, if I'm honest, Maddie, I've got a little secret.
Oh, I know you banged the guy that organizes your building's trash bins.
How dare you mention Orlando? I can neither confirm nor deny. No, Maddie, I mean, those male sissies don't need to be jealous at all. Well, maybe a little jealous. But they, too, can be junk-forward like me. My secret is that I wear the contoured pouch and ball caddy from MeUndies.
The contoured pouch and ball caddy?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy. Not only is MeUndies underwear comfortable and breathable, but it also makes my junk look huge!
MeUndies, who knew?
Yes, and MeUndies has looks for all types of people. From all black classics to fun, expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small through 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
Oh, and I do know that MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Their lounge collection is incredible, featuring joggers, hoodies, and onesies, and more. And it is unmatched comfort because MeUndies' signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
Well, not only are they cozy, but MeUndies uses sustainably sourced materials and works with partners that care for their workers. And if you're not happy with your first pair of MeUndies, it's on MeUndies.
Well, Poods, now that I'm living the single life like Nuttily, I need to advertise. I'm getting some MeUndies.
I don't want to hear about your sex life on the podcast. Sissies, good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/realitygaze.
That's MeUndies.com/realitygaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.